what do you get when you combine a cup of music, a teaspoon of stories, and a dash of culture and tradition? Mucho Radio, the new recipe for radio.
Welcome to Mucho African Radio. My name is Jean Venahimana, your Impact Show host. And on Mucho Radio, we have Vanessa Ferrano. She's speaker, host, producer of the Human Challenge, founder president of Being Human Foundation. I love also this quote, when we embrace our intention, we embrace all of humanity. Welcome, Vanessa, on Mucho Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and grateful to hold space here. Thank you so much. And thank you for the kind words. I do like that quote a lot too. So thank you for sharing that.
All right. And just to begin, can you tell us more about you? Who is Vanessa?
What a question. I feel like that's a question I ask myself all the time. I think, for me, who am I? I think I really do my best to embody my truth and embody my intention. And so I think that, who I am can kind of change and kind of sway between these different versions of myself. Some days I have to be more business corporate Vanessa. Some days I'm more creative Vanessa. Some days I'm, more host producer Vanessa. And some days I'm philanthropic Vanessa. And, and I think that that's a way of being able to be without having to define myself in such a formal way. A lot of times, I think this is a question we all ask ourselves, who am I? Who am I supposed to be? And I think it's very hard in society because we're kind of told we have to be one thing and one thing only. But I really try to not limit myself in that way. I really try to just be me and who I am and being truthful to what comes up for me in any moment. And so that has been a journey in of itself, and it continues to be a journey all the time. I don't think there's an end road or a destination for that sort of a way of living. I think it's just a commitment. It's a commitment to continue to be and a commitment to continue to reflect and explore and hold space with yourself and honor all these different parts and versions of us. But that's definitely been an evolution. Very traditionally, when I had this mindset of only being able to be one person, I started off in medical sciences, went on to study business. And from there, I spent about 10 years in the business space. I was the chief operations officer at a gene therapy company, went on to do diligence and licensing opportunities. I've been an award-winning corporate innovator as well, launching an enterprise-level platform that raised $775,000 in 36 hours. I've done tons of tech consulting and from in almost every different industry. I do lots of work in impact investing and really democratizing investment for both, accredited and non-accredited investors, which is just everyday people like you and me. And then outside of that, I had, I always kept in touch with my creative self. And I think that when I was in that phase of my life where where you're only allowed to be one thing and one thing only, that creative stuff, the creative project, the creative work was a way to still stay connected to myself, to still be human to myself, to honor, hold space and create space with myself. And then eventually, I think the more that I did that, and creative work can be a lot of things. It was, for me, it was things like journaling and writing. That's how it all kind of started. It's definitely evolved since then as well. But as I started, when I was getting into the creative work, it was a way, like I said, it was a way for me to come back to myself, to really just learn about me, reflect about me, and to stay truthful to me. And the more that I did that, the more I realized how much more committed I wanted to be to that than to this version of who I was supposed to be based on, the grades that I received and all this input equals output and whatever you invest in and the returns and blah, blah, blah. There was this other version of me, but the more I committed to my creative self and my creative projects, the more that I started being committed to that version of me. And so over time, I started realizing, hey, I actually can be this you know, I don't have to be what I was told I'm supposed to be. I can actually be me, and I can be truthful to me, and I can, and that in itself is like a very, very kind of beautiful exploration, I would say. And so, you know, from there, my creative work really started evolving. I'm an award-winning author. I was featured in Times Square, January 2023, I think it was, for Human. I'm actually going through a rewrite right now, and we'll be going through a re-release of that book, which I'm super excited about because it's going to offer... Human was written almost 5 years ago. And so when I was rereading it, you know, I was like, wow, there is so much of what's in here that I've evolved and continue to evolve. And in fact, there are many things in Human I'm not even sure I would say I believe necessarily anymore. And so I'm rewriting it in a way to really offer reflections around that. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, I remember writing this and I remember why I wrote this and what I was feeling. But, you know, I've healed that. And now based off of that, I can be a lot more truthful about a lot of these reflections. And so I'm really, really excited about that. You know, the Human Challenge, which is my show, and thank you so much for bringing it up. I love the Human Challenge. You know, it started off as, I'm not even sure I necessarily had a clear vision when I started it, but, you know, it was a way that I wanted to just have more conversations around really challenging ourselves to be more human. You know, the journey that I described where I was like writing and started, as I started becoming more creative, I became more committed to being myself. You know, that was me in essence, really challenging myself about what I knew about being human and how different it was from what I was told I was supposed to be. And so that's where the Human Challenge came from, was how do we challenge ourselves to be more human, and not only to be more human, but to be more human for the greater good. I think that's a really crucial part. And I think it's a huge distinction between, you know, self-help and this sort of truthful journey of what is life. Self-help likes to be very prescriptive and tries to give us these tricks and these 1, 2, 3 and 21 days and all these things. And then that's all fine and dandy. Self-help also only keeps us focused on us. But I think the truthfulness around what it means to be human is that we're actually all connected. And so when I do my healing and I do my inner work, I'm actually able to better connect with those around me, and I can actually create a better world around me as well. And it becomes a lot more of a co-creation at that point between myself, other people, and even the world in general. So that's where the Human Challenge came from. And it's also just evolved. I've interviewed wonderful people, and I'm so grateful. I've spoken to astronauts, athletes. I've spoken to, you know, we did a really fun episode in Halifax, which I know we'll chat about a little later. But, you know, I've spoken to amazing people, spoken to activists, I've spoken to, you know, Juno nominees and Grammy nominated artists. It's just, it's really truthfully a very, it's an honor. It's an honor that the show has evolved in that way. And in December, it was actually an Amazon Music Times Acast Indie Podcast Amplifier. And you know, it was, and that was under 20 episodes at that time. So it's really an honor, and I'm really grateful for that. The other way that I think my creative self really evolved, and you know, I think as I'm talking, I think you can hear, right, as I'm saying it, it's like the more that creative I became, my creativity stopped being just about me. It started becoming about other people, right? Like the Human Challenge, and now the Be Human Foundation. That was a huge part of that. That is like, you know, how do we use aspects like mindfulness and arts and culture and community engagement to really create change in the world, to create a society that's a lot more equitable. And I think you were referencing the Be Human Collective, which is just a mindfulness circle. And what it does is it's all virtual. It's completely accessible. It's free to anybody. You, if you go to vanessaferlano.com/Be Human Foundation, you can scroll down, you'll find the section, and it's just a little questionnaire if you're interested, and it's totally free. And we're just a group of people. We connect, we meet up, and we practice together mindfulness for up to an hour. It's come and go. If, you know, you're newer and you think you can only do 10 minutes, that's cool too. You're more than welcome to make your graceful exit at the 10-minute mark. But it's actually, if people want, people can actually donate. So we'll do a session, and then if you want to donate, all the donations will actually go to charity. And so it's really a way to, you know, be mindful for humanity. And so I think, you know, that's another, I consider it a creative project because it just came from that evolution of how creativity really helps us channel us. And then as we become more committed to us and me and who I am, but in the sense of like who this essence is, you know, we can actually evolve and start co-creating with other people and with the rest of the world. And so that in a nutshell, I think is who is Vanessa? I don't know. I think Vanessa is all these things. And I'm really grateful that I have created the space that I can express all these different versions of myself through all these different avenues and with other people as well.
I confirm that be human is your basic on your Vanessa philosophy. So Vanessa have been all around the world, California, Calgary, New York, Halifax. Can you tell us about your childhood in Ontario?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I have been all over. And I grew up in Northern Ontario in Sault Ste. Marie, which is about 8 hours northwest of Toronto. We're kind of nestled in between the Great Lakes, and we actually sit on the border of Michigan. So I can cross a bridge and I will be in Michigan in literally 10 minutes, depending on the wait time. Depending if it's a holiday, I'm probably on the bridge for a lot longer. But, you know, on a good day, it maybe takes me 5 or 10 minutes. But yeah, I grew up there, and it's really funny because I grew up there, and I think maybe a lot of people will relate to this idea that I have to get away. You know, it's a small town, we're about 25,000 people. And I was like, no, I need to go to the big city. That's who I am. And, you know, there was always this desire to leave. And I think, when I went to the University of Toronto, then I went to the University of Waterloo. And then from there, I lived in Mexico for a while, too, about 6 months. And then I was in Calgary, and then I was back in Toronto, and then I was in California. And then, now I've done all that. And then I've actually come back home. And in a weird way, I didn't really have a choice to come back home. There was just so much happening, and I'm a very spiritual person. And you know, spirit was like, you got to go back home. And I was like, all right. So, you know, I came back home, and it's just, it's funny because the quote that there is no place like home, I think it's really truthful. You know, I've been home now, and there is really no place like home. I grew up with a Mexican mother and an Italian father. My father is a Canadian citizen, but his family is actually from Italy. And my mother is born and raised in Puebla, Mexico. It's just about 3 hours away from Mexico City, so it's quite central. It's a very beautiful city. Three volcanoes surround the exterior. One is still very active. I actually love going to Puebla. It's really beautiful. And it's not like coastal. It's not really Americanized. It's still very traditional, very cultural, and really a beautiful town. And so, and then my parents actually met on the beach in Acapulco. My dad was on spring break and my mom was also on holiday. And in a true movie moment, they met on the beach, and then they dated long distance for 4 years. And at the time there was no Facebook or Instagram. There were no cell phones. There were only letters and very expensive international calls. So they did that for 4 years, and then they got married. And then my mother moved to Sault Ste. Marie, which is, you know, my dad was born and raised there. My father's family history is actually, it's very interesting as well. His father had come to Sault Ste. Marie from Italy. They were immigrants. They'd come here looking for work. And then my grandmother was actually sent from Italy here to marry my grandfather. And she was like 14 at the time. So she, 14 years old, moved to Canada to marry, you know, someone that I don't think she had met. I think their parents had known each other, but she had never met him. And then, yeah, 14 years old, at the age of 15, she had my uncle. At the age of 16, had my dad. And then she has another, you know, then I have my aunt, and then my other uncle. And, you know, it's just a wild story. You know, I think when I reflect back and hear some of these things, I'm like, wow, you know, how different it is. I mean, we could definitely get into things like child marriage and other cultures. And then from the activism perspective, you know, unfortunately those things do exist. But, you know, when I hear the story, you know, for myself, as it's like my family lineage, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy to me I can't imagine being 14 years old and, you know, having to like have children and take care of a family. You know, that's a lot. So, but that was how I grew up. You know, we grew up that way. And I think that with those experiences, there's kind of the the immigrant mindset, which I know a lot of us are probably very accustomed to. And I think that, you know, I grew up not really understanding it, but as I got older and as I sort of started coming back to me and who I am, you know, I started seeing how, you know, my ancestors and my family, how they really valued themselves based on what society told them that they were allowed to be. You know, like my mother was a school teacher in Mexico. And so when she came to Canada, that credential wasn't valid anymore. You know, my grandparents didn't have really education. Actually, my grandmother went to school with a nun. So she, and that was at the time, that was education, right? But like when you come to the Western world, right, like that was such a different experience. And so, you know, she was much older in her life when she actually went back to school and did like PSW work. But you know, I think that there was a huge chunk of time in between that where, you know, they were cleaning and doing really heavy labor work. And so that was, you know, I think when I was growing up, I didn't see that. What I saw was, oh, why is everybody pressuring me to get education? And why is everyone telling me to have to do this and this? But then as I grew up and started seeing that more and more and started, you know, going through my own life experiences, I was like, oh, I get it. Because this is kind of what they were taught. You know, they were taught how to value themselves based on what they had. And I don't think that was a very fair experience. And so that was a really big learning for me. I think the other learning too was, you know, there was a lot of I trauma. You know, trauma is a big one. And I think that when you hear stories like, you know, being 14 years old and having to come to Canada, like that's pretty traumatic for a 14-year-old, you know. And so I think there was a lot of trauma in my family that, again, I didn't really understand growing up. But as I get older, I'm like, oh, I understand why some of these family matters happened the way they did, you know. And as a kid, you can't get it. And it's really hard as a child. But, you know, when you get older and you start evolving in your own way, you can see these things very differently. You know, my mother, too, had a lot of her own experiences with her parents and their relationship. And you know, and again, as a kid, you don't get it. You feel like, for me growing up, I always felt like there's always like tension. And I always felt like, why do I always struggle to have these like healthy relationships? Not, maybe not even healthy, but like stronger relationships, I would say. I think that's a better word. But, you know, again, like growing up and going through my experiences and, you know, then I come back home and I hear all these stories and it's like, sometimes it's the same stories you hear, but each time you hear them, as you evolve, the stories almost evolve too, right? So you see them with some very, very different perspectives. And I can like resolve a lot of like, I'm like, oh, I understand where, you know, some of these experiences I've had with my own family, these were a lot of times just trauma responses. And half of us, we don't even understand our own trauma responses. We don't even understand our own traumas because we just built up so many conditioned behaviors so that to protect ourselves, right? And that's totally normal and also totally human, by the way. And so those are some two very big, I think, learnings or reflections or offerings that I have when I consider, you know, my childhood and how I grew up.
Thank you for all this way just to get knowing you, but also I know that we have done many things. The last time I saw you, you was in Halifax, and you was host for a show with the tribe. Can you tell us more about your journey to Halifax?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. Yes, I know we did. We had a chance to shake hands. I think that was it. It was a very quick meet and greet, but I mean, it was great. Thank you so much for asking that. The event was fantastic. It was actually my first live filming or taping of the Human Challenge. And that was, like you said, at Tribe. And I actually interviewed three people local to Halifax. One was DJ Sully, and she, her story was really phenomenal about her journey and to, you know, deciding DJing was what she wanted to do. I also spoke to the CEO of Mawuya, and, you know, she talked a lot about also her journey we talked a lot about, I think, like healing, especially for women, because this was to honor International Women's Day. And she talked a lot about her story, you know, kind of like growing up, outgrowing her shame. And it was actually a really beautiful conversation. So I was really grateful for a lot of her learnings and then her teachings. And then we also had Indigenous model Kira, She was fantastic as well. She's 18 years old, and she was on, I think, in Paris Fashion Week. And you know, her wisdom was also so welcome, especially considering for someone who's like 18, 19 years old. And it was really interesting because, you know, I was hosting, and then we had and all of our guests were actually at very different age ranges too. And so I think it just made for a very fruitful conversation to hear all these perspectives around, you know, what does it actually mean to be a woman? You know, I think that, or someone who identifies as a woman, because I think a lot of times there's, when we discuss this theme, sometimes there's too much of an emphasis on let's celebrate women, and we should be celebrating women 100%, but sometimes that detracts away from the truthfulness of it, right? And so how do we celebrate, how do we honor? And then the truth of honoring is also talking about some of these sort of more taboo topics. And one of that was the role of shame in society and how shame really influences or affects women and our own becoming and our own evolution, and how that translates into multiple areas of our lives, including our personal life, but also our professional lives. Shame is really embedded into our society, into our system. And it's really unfortunate because it is so heavy, and we're so accustomed to it, we don't even realize it. And so we had a really, really authentic conversation around that. And it was really quite beautiful. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity, for that experience. We also had some live music by Asha Prince and his band. And that was really, really, really wonderful as well. And it was also my first time having live music in a show. And definitely something I'm going to do again, because it was really, honestly, it was really amazing. But that was on March 7th, and so I'm really looking forward to releasing that as well onto my usual platform.
Yes, you are host, producer, and my dream have been for a long, long, long time to create a radio, a space where people can tell their story and learn from one another. And mucho means culture and tradition is who we are. Do you think that creating an African radio as a place where people can share their stories and learn from one another is important just to build a community based on diversity and inclusion?
Yes, 100%. And I love the title of your show, and I love what it stands for. And I think it's really beautiful. And yes, 100%. You know, my show is also produced through my company, Vienna Studios, and that's what Vienna Studios stands for. Is the same idea, is how do we kind of cut through all the noise? And so, you know, to your point, that's exactly how we have to share stories. You know, we need these stories. That's why I shared so much of my family life and their stories, because, you know, we don't learn, we don't cultivate empathy, we don't cultivate compassion until we hear other people's stories. And so 100%, you know, when we talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, it's 100% about storytelling, but also, you know, story hearing. And I think story honoring, right? You know, they're one of the issues, I think, with DEI, and the reason it's so slow for adoption, especially in a corporate setting, is because I don't think we're always listening or hearing properly. We don't hear the stories. We're not holding space with people in their stories, because, again, at the heart of issues with DEI, at the heart of injustice is trauma. You know, when we talk about things like microaggressions in the workplace, we can maybe identify them now, but we still don't treat it in a trauma-informed manner, because we don't see microaggressions as a trauma response, because it is traumatic, right? When you have that level of trauma through your lineage, that continues to perpetuate itself. And so if we want to actually, you know, make a difference, we need to share these stories, but we need to be holding space with people, and we need to be acknowledging, you know what, this is trauma, and how do we help each other work through our traumas individually and collectively? I think that healing from our traumas is not just an individual thing. It is something that we do individually, but also with each other and for each other. And so, yeah, I absolutely agree that you know, stories like this from our diverse community members are absolutely crucial to hear stories, hear about culture, hear about traditions. Part of the Human Foundation is that as well, is that I mentioned the three pillars: mindfulness, arts and culture, and community engagement. And that arts and culture piece is crucial, because it is through arts and it is through culture that we can learn about each other, is that we can learn, be together, be engaged in each other's cultures and really develop these levels of understanding.
Just, I think it's a beginning collaboration between your project, your business, your mission for being human and Mucho Radio. And just to end this show, I would like to ask you how our listeners can connect with you and how we can access Vanessa's Multi Award winning book, Human.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking. So you can check out my website, VanessaFerlano.com, and it's got all versions of me on the website. You can also follow me on Instagram, Vanessa Serlano. I'm the most active there. And then also on LinkedIn as well. You can find me on LinkedIn, Vanessa Serlano, and connect with me. I do have as well a LinkedIn page and Instagram page for the Being Human Foundation. It's been pretty quiet, but we've got some developments. So we'll be picking up activity on those channels as well.
Thank you, Vanessa Ferrano, being with us on Mucho Radio. And we wish you all the best for all your projects.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Super grateful to be here.
This is Mucho Radio, opening your world to more than just music.